Hi, everybody, or as you can no longer say, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know that, by the way? You are not allowed to say that. You can't say boys and girls in most schools. You can't say Japan Airlines has just announced it doesn't say in its English broadcast on the flight. It doesn't say, ladies and gentlemen, Air Canada dropped it, and a lot of other airlines. The New York City subway dropped it. The London Tube has dropped it. Lest you imply that everyone traveling is either male or female. But even the transgender acknowledge that they're male or female. So that you realize we're talking about such an infinitesimally small group of people that is neither sex. And for that, we have stopped saying, ladies and gentlemen. People are looking for causes. Anyway, I'm Dennis Prager. Welcome to the Fireside Chat. Oh, Otto was facing out for so long. It's so sad. Otto, the spontaneous eruption of emotion when I say Otto is moving. Otto. It doesn't have a big impact when you say Otto to Otto. But he has moved. He's special. We have Otto socks, just want to remind you. And do we have an Otto mug as well?
We do.
All at the PragerU. Mm-hmm. The number of people who add say hi to Otto is quite remarkable. He's very popular. For good reason. He's a very good dog. Now, I just want to say he's not brilliant. But my theory is there's no reason for a dog to be brilliant. Because we don't really talk issues. So I don't know why people would want a brilliant dog. You want a lovable dog, right? And fun. He's very funny. So I just want to say that, but I didn't want him to hear it, lest it disturb him. I love the guy, right? Mr. O, you're the best. Yes, sir. Okay, everybody, welcome to the Fireside Chat, my opportunity to talk to you about what is ever on my mind and for you to talk to me about what is on your mind. It's completely unscripted, which is a gamble. But if it works, it's terrific because it's real. That's why. And it is real. That's the key here to the Fireside Chat. This is number what?
155.
Do you know in 155 weeks we haven't missed one? That's really something. That is a credit to Megan.
And you.
And me.
And me.
Oh, Nathan came in the middle. I don't want to deny, you know.
Rodrigo.
Rodrigo's contribution and a few others. But Nathan has been a stalwart. He has. All right, everybody, I want to talk to you. I want to open up with thoughts. The President of the United States tweeted the following. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. That was part of the tweet. And that those words have caused pandemonium. The New York Times and the entire mainstream media, the medical profession, they are beside themselves in anger that a president of the United States would say to the American people, don't be afraid of a disease, whatever, don't let it dominate your life. Now, this was before I was born, but still, you're allowed to know things that happened before you were born. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was the hero of folks on the left, he was the most liberal activist president besides Lyndon Johnson, and he was, of course, the leader during World War II, during the Depression, during the worst depression in modern American history, he said to the American people, it's a very famous address, do not be afraid, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Why was that good? It was always considered a great statement to the American people by a president during a serious crisis. People were jumping out of windows, killing themselves because of the utter loss of their livelihoods. And he said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Why was that noble and this is not? Again, I always the key words here. Don't let it dominate your life. Right. As of now, about 200,000, 210,000 Americans died of COVID. We will really not know the real numbers for a while because we really will know it based primarily on excess deaths. Because a lot of people are listed as a COVID death when they tested positive for COVID, but may have died of a heart attack or something else. But anyway, let's even say that it is that number. You know, about 700,000 Americans, I think that's the number, say 600,000 just to be safe, die each year of heart disease. Now, why should we not allow fear of heart disease, which kills more than three times the number of people each year that COVID has, why shouldn't we allow that to dominate our life? Because it happens every year, whereas the virus doesn't happen every year? That's the only reason I could think of. And at what number should it dominate our lives? And by the way, why should it dominate the lives of anybody under 70 or under 80? Your chances of dying of COVID under 70 are minuscule, just minuscule. So why would it dominate your life? And isn't it the task of a leader to reassure and calm his or her nation? I am stunned, but I have to tell you something. There are a lot of people in the medical profession and, of course, in the media who think it's good to frighten people. This is astonishing to me. You know, I often contrast this world to the value system that I inherited from what we call the Judeo-Christian tradition. Do you know what God says the most in the Old Testament? And I would probably in the Bible, including the New Testament, what God says the most to human beings, the phrase or the statement God says by far the most, do not fear. Walking around in life with fear, I mean, the fear, it leads you to irrationality. I have no issue with people wearing masks as I do when I go indoors, but outdoors, especially when you're not in a very condensed crowd, is simply irrational. It's the function of irrationality, which is a product of fear, because the fear is irrational. Why don't I fear it? I love life. I don't want to die, but why don't I fear it? Because the chances of my contracting it and dying from it, even at my age, are minuscule. That's why. So I want to live life. I don't want to only be safe. One of the most important fireside chats I ever gave, I had to memorize the number because people should see it over and over, or see it the first time if you didn't see it, is about safety. And I remember saying, I don't want on my tombstone, and you shouldn't want on your tombstone, he or she led a safe life. You're not going to lead a rich life, a good life, a deep life, if your aim is just safety. This was one of the greatest things a president, Democrat, Republican, could say to his nation. Don't let it dominate your life. That's right. Live life. Until when will it dominate? It doesn't dominate Sweden's life, the one country that proved everybody wrong about the lockdowns. There's a lot of anger at Sweden for not listening, quote, to the science. I love this, listen, I follow the science. No, they don't. People follow scientists they agree with. Thousands of scientists don't agree with the lockdown, but they don't follow them. Thousands of scientists believe in hydroxychloroquine, but they're not even allowed to be on Twitter or on Facebook. They're taken down. Scientists. It's not true about follow the science. Most science, by the way, has actually been furthered by lone voices or lonely or minority voices. Thank God for those voices. Isn't that why you go for a second opinion? Don't most people, before deciding on what to do, whether to have surgery, for example, or what if they have cancer, what type of options they have, don't they go for a second opinion? Why do they go for a second opinion? What if the two opinions differ? How do you know which follow the science? Follow the science is a phony phrase, because people who say follow the science mean follow the scientists that they agree with. That's all it means. Okay. I don't want you to be preoccupied with COVID. I want you to be preoccupied with living a full life. Meet with friends. Depriving children of the ability to play with other children. Do you know what that is called? You know what we would have called a year ago if you would have said, these parents are not allowing their kids to play with other kids. It's now over half a year. You would say, call Child Protective Services. Those kids are being abused. It is child abuse not allowing children to play with other children. That's what it is, child abuse. Now, you may say, it is child abuse, but we have to do it to save their lives. But then you are speaking drivel, certainly not science. We are abusing children in the name of science. Okay, time for your questions, and we begin with the video question.
Hi. My name is Michael Paczynski. I'm 28 years old, and I live in Phoenix, Arizona. Thomas Sowell once said that emotions neither prove nor disprove facts. There was a time when any rational adult knew this. In today's society, everyone seems to be caught up in emotionalism instead of researching the facts of a matter for themselves. Why do you think critical thinking has seemingly gone out of the window for so many people?
Because it's easy to follow your heart. Or should I keep it, actually? Yes, that's right. Why am I giving it to you? I sort of feel I can't function fully without Megan, which is not good. I have to get more independent. Again, my favorite book, the Bible, which was the repository of wisdom for thousands of years, and now is regarded as useless, or worse. It warns against following your heart constantly, because the emotions are great. Emotions are what make us human. That's why robots are not human. They don't have emotions. We do. Emotions are awesome. Without emotions, life is not worth living. But they can't be the guide to truth. Right? If I would like to believe the sun goes around the earth because it would make me feel more special, it's irrelevant. Your heart may prompt you to want the sun to go around the earth, but the earth does go around the sun. So you ask what is true. What is true is what matters, not what feels good. People talk about, you know, police racism, but almost every example given has nothing to do with race. And it may not even have to do with police brutality. The most obvious example is Ferguson, Missouri, and everybody, the notion, what is it, hands up, don't shoot, never said it. This is all myth, but it doesn't matter to people. And the truth is, the tragedy is, that the killing was justified and had nothing to do with the fact that the young man was black, had nothing to do with it. We have no idea whether George Floyd has anything to do. Listen to this. We have no idea whether George Floyd was the victim. A, we don't know if he was killed. We don't know if he was murdered. They're not the same thing. And we don't know if whatever was done because of his race. I saw the video. I don't know how many people have seen this. I saw the video of what transpired for, I don't know, 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes prior to his dying with the knee on the side of his neck. Knee on the side of your neck does not cause you to die. Triple the amount of fatal fentanyl does. And the original report of the autopsy report said it was likely fentanyl. Maybe the police officer never even killed him. But you see, if you say this, then you are called a racist. All it does is say, I don't care what is true. I care what name I can call you. This is now what has happened in the United States. We don't debate truth. That a society cannot survive if truth is not the uppermost value. That's why there's so much talk about the president lying, and he lies, thousands of lies. Because we're bathing in lies from the other side. So it deflects. Was Breonna Taylor killed because she was black? We have zero evidence of such. She was killed by a stray bullet when the police were being shot out through a door. What does that have to do with murder, let alone racism? It might be, but we don't know. But people speak about it as if it's a given. Men menstruate? That's not an emotional statement. That's a factual statement. And yet if you say men do not menstruate, you're called transphobic. What the left does is substitutes labels for thought. I will label you, that way I do not have to engage in rational thought. So your question is completely legitimate and very scary. And the places of the most, where reason is most rejected, are the universities. Isn't that interesting? The places that should be rooted in the pursuit of truth, the motto of Harvard is Veritas, meaning truth. But they no longer pursue truth. They pursue social justice. That's not the same thing. Okay, time for your questions. All right, here we go. Abraham, 16, Texas, living in Botswana. I was in Botswana. It's actually a wonderful African country. Was there ever a time you felt insecure about your values because of how the left treated you? I wrote a column. Now, I have literally 1,000 columns on the internet, and they're easily digested because they're about 800 words each. You should take a look. If you find me interesting here, you'll find me interesting in print. And one of them is how the left, I think it's how the left keeps me religious. I don't think it's how the left made me religious, but it's true. The effect of the left is not to have me question my beliefs. I question my beliefs all the time without the left, almost on a daily basis, to make sure I don't hold something because it's convenient. And not only does the left not make me feel insecure, as you put it, about my beliefs, they reinforce it because I realize what the anti-religious world has produced, the nonsense, the anger, the hatred, the depression, the unhappiness. That is not a happy world, the anti-religious world. I'm not saying the irreligious, the anti-religious. It is not it's not a happy or decent or rational place. So these positions of the left have reinforced my belief in the Judeo-Christian value system and in the American value system, e pluribus unum, liberty, in God we trust. Kyle, 19, Mullica Hill, New Jersey. Dear Mr. Prager, I am a social work major at Cairn University. We talk a lot about social justice and empowerment. My professors tell me how I need to be culturally aware and support oppressed minorities. I don't think America is a racist country. That's going to make you an outlier in the social work profession. Nor do I think that most people are racists or oppressors. However, I don't feel like I can dismiss the stories about people being treated unfairly or stereotyped because of their ethnicity or race. What should I make of all the social justice talk? What does empowerment mean or even look like? Okay, nobody's asking you to dismiss every story. I am a Jew, and most Jews can give you a story of where they were stereotyped. When I was about 20 years old, still living in New York, I was with a friend from Canada, rural Canada, as it happens. He was visiting New York. We both into photography. We were in a camera store. And when we left, he said to me, boy, I really Jewed him down. That's what he said. Now, I, at 20, knew. I was upset when he said that because it's not. It's an ugly term. I Jewed him down. But I was rational. I've always tried to be. And I said, wait, he can't be an anti-Semite or I wouldn't be his close friend. So something is awry here. So I learned this is simply a phrase in rural parts of Canada, maybe rural parts of the U.S. Sort of like go Dutch. You ever hear of that? Go Dutch on a date. We went Dutch. That means everybody paid for themselves. Or he got out scot-free. Or don't gyp him. That comes from gypsy. If you say, you know, I really got gypped when I paid this, are you anti-gypsy? Oh, he got out scot-free. Are you anti-Scottish? Oh, we went Dutch. Are you anti-Dutch? Oh, I Jewed him down. Are you an anti-Semite? See, this is unsophisticated thinking. These are phrases. Some of them should be dropped. Obviously, Jewed him down is ugly and should be dropped. Fine. But it doesn't mean everybody who used it was conscious of insulting Jews. There are stories that see, I don't know what to answer about driving while black. A, I'm not black. And B, I get completely separate accounts from my black friends. Larry Elder tells me he was never stopped gratuitously by a policeman, and Larry is black. Secondly, I don't understand this. How do they know the color of the person they're stopping? I've never gotten an answer to that. I have tried it myself. I've been behind a car, and then I will say to my wife, what's the color of the driver? Trying to figure out, because police are behind you overwhelmingly when they stop you right from behind you. I can't tell. Maybe the police have awesome vision or some pigment identifier in their police cars that I don't know about. But I don't know how they do this. So maybe it's, I don't deny that there are blacks who've been stopped gratuitously. I don't deny it. So you asked about, well, what do I do? Individual stories don't make up the larger picture. Any Jew can give you some individual story of being isolated at some moment or even accused of something or whatever. I know many Jews who grew up in parts of the country. It's unbelievable to me. I did not grow up this way, where they were called Christ killers. All right? This was for some Jews, this was routine, being called Christ killers. But America is the least anti-Semitic country Jews have ever lived in. It is possible to chew gum and walk at the same time. Yes, these things happen, and it's still the least racist society in human history. Okay, that's my answer. Jeff, 39, Seattle, lucky you. Hello, Dennis, I'm a newly outed conservative and a huge fan. Can you talk about the role of agency? Probably not, I don't even know. It's an academic term that I don't use. In debating a leftist on systemic racism, I want to argue that all people have the ability to make choices, improve their lives, and break patterns. Of course, I'm told that's my white privilege talking and that black people do not have such agency. First of all, let me just say to you, Jeff, do not capitalize black. I have a whole article on why I never capitalize black. It's especially perverse because they're against capitalizing white. And the Associated Press, which came out with this in their manual of style, said we don't want to capitalize white because this serves only to reinforce white supremacy. I mean, so it has nothing to do with grammar or language or ethnicity. It's all politics. So I don't capitalize black. Black is a color, not an ethnicity or a nationality like Armenian. That's capitalized. Okay, anyway, so I'm just letting you know because you identify as a conservative, which means you think things through. So, let's see. You want to argue that all people have the ability to make choices, improve their lives, but that's your white privilege is what people say. I see. So what if a black says that? How many blacks say that all people have the ability to make choices and improve their lives? I would say a lot of blacks say that. So when a white says it, that's white privilege talking. And if a black says it, it's an Uncle Tom. This is a classic example of what the left does. They do not argue ideas. They label those they differ with. This has nothing to do with white privilege. By the way, what about a white who has no privilege? Does the, let me ask you this. Does LeBron James have choices in life? Just purchased, I think, a $24 million home. You think, does he have choices? Or isn't it racist to argue blacks don't have choices? I mean, I can't think of a more racist notion than that. All whites have choices on how to improve their lives, and no blacks have choices on how to improve their lives. See, I truly do believe this. I don't believe for a second all whites are racist, but I do believe all leftists are. Not liberals, always make the distinction. All leftists are racist. They have, it's so obvious they have contempt for blacks. To argue that the idea that you can choose to lead a better life is a white idea is pure contempt for blacks. What's our time frame?
26.
Oh, cool. Raph. Raph? R-A-P-H? Okay. 29, Bloomington, Illinois. Hi, Dennis. I hope you and Otto are well. Are you well, Otto? All right. You've mentioned having a special attachment to Bulgaria a few times in the past. Could you explain why that is? My sister lives in Bulgaria, and I've been there once. I didn't stay long, but I enjoyed it very much. Okay, so I'll read the rest of what he writes. I believe it was the only state under the USSR to refuse to persecute the Jews. However, I think years of communism have left its mark, corruption, neighbors telling on each other, etc. I wanted to give you some background to get your insight on this question. Thank you, take care. Well, on the Jewish issue, it was not part of the USSR. It was never part of the USSR. It was run by, it was this, what we call a European, East European satellite. It was a communist country because the Soviets were allowed to keep control of it after World War II. But Bulgaria was never part of the USSR. It was a communist country after World War II. Bulgaria, before then, was an independent country, but the Nazis took it over. And they in fact, did overwhelmingly save their Jews. It is a relatively unknown fact of the Holocaust, but I believe it should be known. But that is not the only reason that I have a warm spot for Bulgarians. I was there twice, and I simply like them. I would love to go back today. I am, of all the countries I visited, and I visited 130, Bulgaria is one that I want to go back to almost more than any other. I want to see what the post-communist life and Bulgarian personality is like. I'm very, very curious. I am very into audio equipment, and there is a guy in Bulgaria who is a genius and makes phenomenal equipment. And a friend of mine who's also into audio has become very friendly with this man. And having nothing to do with my own feelings about Bulgarians, which I'm not sure my friend even knows, he just keeps telling me what a wonderful human being this man is. I'm sure there are, I'm not sure, there's no doubt there are terrible Bulgarians, like there are terrible everybody's. But I do have a warm spot for Bulgarians, that's true. What's our story?
29.
So I think I'll wrap up for today. Purpose of a leader is to prevent, among the purposes of a leader is to prevent their people from being overwhelmed with fear. When Britain was being bombed by the Germans, Churchill did not say, be afraid. The fact that the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN have contempt for an American leader who tells his people not to be, what is the word? There was a great word. Dominate, yes. Not to let it dominate your life. Speaking for myself, I can just tell you this. It has had virtually no effect on the way I have led my life from the beginning. I have gone to friends' homes for Shabbat dinner. That's my Friday night Sabbath dinner since the beginning. I have had people over here since the beginning. And our house is filled with people almost all the time. I've gone to work every single day. I have not worn a mask when doing my radio show with my producer sitting 2 feet from me and not wearing a mask. I have led as normal a life as possible because I don't want it to dominate my life. I love life. And if you love life, you can't allow fear to dominate it. It's one or the other. Thanks for being with me. I'll see you next week. Thank you for watching this video. To help keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.